Here's where we stand. Governor Tony Evers' health department has issued a safer at home order until May 26th. It restricts some businesses and demands other non-essential companies stay closed. Republican legislative leaders are suing the administration, and the case about whether the governor's office is within the law remains in front of the state Supreme Court. The justices heard oral arguments last week and were waiting for a ruling. So now it's time for the State Capitol Report here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent, and we're talking first with a Republican lawmaker, and then we bring on the Democratic lieutenant governor. And your calls are welcome at 800-642-1234. Wondering what questions you have for the state senator? Are you a business owner? What has your experience been? And what are you thinking about as you watch state leaders try to figure out how to safely reopen Wisconsin's economy? 800-642-1234. Our guest now is Chris Kapinga. He's a Republican state senator from Delafield. Senator Kapinga, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks. Great to be on again.
Governor Evers loosened restrictions for businesses, such as reopening golf courses, allowing no contact services as part of this evolution of his stay home order. What other restrictions on businesses do you think the state should evaluate?
Well, I think we have to have a systematic approach of looking at, hey, what's the risk out there? And then based on that risk, let's put measures in place that safely opens up the businesses again. So I think that's a critical piece to this. And the problem we have, one of many problems, I think, under the current administration is we have way too many restrictions that are out there in areas where, for instance, we've got one county where there's been four suicide deaths to one COVID death. I mean, we're not looking at this in a reasonable manner. I don't think anybody out there is ready to just say, let's completely open up and not have any restrictions in place. I don't think that that's a reasonable place to be. So that's why we've got to have a plan that actually looks at the risk based on a county-by-county basis and then says, based on that risk, let's allow businesses to open back up if you follow these guidelines or procedures or requirements.
Why is it the county-by-county approach that you think is the best strategy for preventing the spread of COVID-19 in our state?
Because you have 85% of the state who is not, well, actually more than that right now, because we've got even the worst hit counties are actually seeing declines. But the number one concern that we have and that public policy should have is if someone gets sick, we want to make sure that you can get treatment in a timely manner without having issues, because we don't want to have situations like we saw, for instance, out in Italy, where they had to make a choice between grandpa or grandson. We don't want to be in that situation. We don't feel that's good public policy. So if we can contain and manage the treatment and make sure every person who is sick is able to go in and get treatment, that's a reasonable approach to it. And right now, it's complete lockdown, when the healthcare system, if you look at the factors related to that, has the ability to adequately, more than adequately right now, treat anyone who is sick. And we have to start taking that just common sense approach to the situation that's, you know, obviously unprecedented.
Yeah. And Senator Kapinga, although we do hear that we do have the testing capacity and the healthcare system capacity, we still have people calling our program saying, I have symptoms, I still can't get a test. So it sounds like we aren't quite to that point in Wisconsin where you're saying it's important that everybody can get tested, everybody can get treatment. We would have the capacity to do that, but that's not actually what's in practice. Is that what you're seeing?
Well, what you have to keep in mind is, again, somebody can display symptoms, but there's two different approaches to this. And we have to take the realistic approach that we cannot stop the spread of this virus. Nobody in the health field is saying we can stop it. So then you have to say, okay, what are reasonable measures if we cannot stop the spread? It's going to spread. There's no way around that. So then that's when we say, well, if it's going to spread, we need to be able to take care of people who get sick enough where they have to go into the hospital, and then obviously the worst cases are the ones where we need ICU, and that's where the bottleneck is in the healthcare system. We've got ICU bottleneck potentially, and we've got PPE or personal protective equipment bottlenecks. Those are what we have to watch. And if we can manage that, manage the sick people coming into those bottlenecks, then we are adequately doing what public policy should do. The current approach is far beyond that. So there are going to be people who have symptoms. There are people who are going to have COVID-19. There are a significant number of people who have already had it and who are carrying the antibodies. And the testing is flushing that out. But we have to not get confused between, hey, how are we going to deal with, you know, going out there and doing contact tracing, for instance, or testing the population to see who's had this already. That's completely different from if someone gets sick, we have to be able to take care of them and make sure that they can get adequate care.
All right. Senator Chris Kambinga is a Republican state senator from Delafield, and we are talking with him here on the State Capitol Report. Taking your questions at 800-642-1234. Have you been experiencing the financial pinch of the new coronavirus pandemic as Wisconsin has this safer at home order? What has it been like for you? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. We've got Mo from Oconto on the line who has a question. Hi, Mo.
Hello. Thanks, Kaylee. Great show as always. I have a question. It seems like if you're an expendable worker, it's okay to go back to work. We don't see our legislatures going back to work eagerly. And it seems like we don't have the testing or the contact tracing. My neighbor had tested, and it was over 6 days, and he still didn't know if he had the virus. It seems to me short-sighted that you would fight a fire and then leave before it's out. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mo. And Senator Kapinga, Mo's saying he doesn't feel like we're at the place where we could do this yet.
Well, number one, again, I'll go back to contact tracing that was brought up and testing. That is a specific situation where we're saying, hey, if we want to put a tool in place that helps us going forward, where if somebody is sick, we can kind of go trace where that sickness may be going. Again, we have to segregate that from our number one concern as public policy is if someone is sick, can the hospital system handle taking care of them effectively? That is the concern. Because people are going to become more infected. It's going to spread its way through the population. And, you know, Mo, you talk about expendable worker. Every single worker out there, it doesn't matter where you work, they have a discussion with their employer. So you've got employees and employers, and it doesn't matter if it's a business or a nonprofit or whatever. They can have the conversation on, are you a vulnerable? Because we know the reality is if you're, you know, 60 or 50 and under and you don't have a immune system issue or concern, you are at very, very low risk. If you get the virus, if you will need to go in and get ICU care. But if you do, again, as long as we can handle that within the healthcare system, that's just the reality of the situation, and I think we have to keep going back to that as people talk about, you know, well, there's not good contact tracing in place, or, you know, expendable workers. If the worker and the employer have a discussion and say, we're both comfortable with it, why should they not be allowed to go and you know, why are we going to hold back as government the ability for someone to make a living?
Yep, we're talking to State Senator Chris Kapinga on this State Capitol Report. Thanks for letting me jump in. We're also taking your calls at 800-642-1234 as we talk about Wisconsin leaders looking to figure out how to reopen the state's economy and keep the public health as a priority. I'm Keely Boltina. Our State Capitol Report continues here on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. Thanks for being with us on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. 1 week ago, Republican legislative leaders and Governor Tony Evers discussed Wisconsin's response to COVID-19. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss released a statement afterwards that it was a good initial discussion. We are hearing from another state lawmaker now, Senator Chris Kapinga, and we're talking about COVID-19 spread in Wisconsin and what the legislature can do to protect public health and support the economic well-being of people in our state. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for the senator? You can give us a call or email ideas@WPR.org. Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is on the program later this morning. He's pushed against the regional approach to opening the state's economy. Let's listen.
I think for far too long, we've gotten into these regional battles where we want to view one part of the state differently from the other. And it's not fair because it creates confusion, it creates frustration, it creates unnecessary competition. We're all one state.
Senator, why do you think that a regionally specific plan to reopen the state economy would create confusion about where you can go, where you can't go, what businesses can be open, that sort of thing?
Not at all. No, absolutely not. Because right now, number one, we have to remember that this is a very short-term issue that we're dealing with. We're going to work through the pandemic, and eventually this is going to work its way through the population, and we're not going to have the worry that we have right now. So we have to keep that in mind. This is not a long-term thing that that we've got to deal with. So what we have to do is we've got all the measurements in place in order to say, hey, you know what, if you've got if you're in a specific area where there's low risk, and we can easily assess risk out there based on certain factors, if it's low risk, we should not be locking their economy down. We should not be locking families down. We should not be locking nonprofits down. That is, it's a very easy thing to look at because the data is readily available. And to say fairness, well, it's just not fair that we're dealing with a situation. That's just the reality of life sometimes is we can't take a blanket approach to the state when we've got 85, 90% of the state that's not having any significant issues. They're all in the low risk category. We have to take the approach of saying, you know what, if you live out in a county where there's not a lot going on right now, there's plenty of capacity for the healthcare system to make sure we're helping people who are sick get treatment, there shouldn't be an unconstitutional limitation of your ability to exercise your individual freedoms. And that's the approach that the administration is taking that is completely off base.
And, yeah, that constitutionality in front of the Supreme Court right now, the state Supreme Court. But, Senator, I do want to ask, though, if you do this regional approach, and you say, well, Door County doesn't have that many cases, so we'll open everything up there. But Milwaukee and Madison, you have to be shut down. We had a conversation about polio on this show where we talked about the fact that in these times of contagious disease, people leave heavily populated areas and try to spread out. How are you going to protect these regions where there aren't very many people from having, you know, new cases come in because people say, well, business is open there, so I'm going to go stay there for a few weeks? How are you going to do that legislatively?
Well, there's actually, one of the models that we've built, the plan that I worked with different organizations on, takes that into consideration. So OSHA has a risk factor called interactive concentration risk, and I'm not going to get too wonky here because you can really get in the weeds, but it essentially says, we can look at an organization in its normal course of business and understand how much transient population will be part of coming in. And we have to assess a risk factor or assign a risk factor based on that and several other things. So that's naturally built into a risk model that we've got that says, hey, if there's the contact within an organization in its natural course of business is very high, so lots of common touching of surfaces for like retail, stuff like that, you can take that into account, but you don't have to lock down that business completely. And the other really important thing here is we have to remember the vulnerable population still has the choice to say, for instance, my mom, who's in her 70s, is high risk. She has the ability and is making the decision to say, I know that I'm high risk and I'm not going to go into a retail establishment or eat in a restaurant right now because I just know naturally that's not good or healthy for me. Or if my daughter, for instance, who's a type 1 diabetic, she's immunocompromised. She knows, I know that there are places where I'm not going to go. People still have the choice and ordinary people have common sense to go use as they go exercise their freedom to go into society.
Senator Kapinga. Senator Chris Kapinga is a Republican state senator from Delafield, and we have some calls ready, and people want to talk with you. Jim from Dubuque. Hey, Jim.
Hi. I don't think we should have done a shutdown. I think we should have protected the most vulnerable people, the 1 or 2% that are seriously affected by this. People don't seem to remember that the swine flu infected 1.4 billion people worldwide and killed over 750,000. And this panic reaction to something which is clearly less lethal is destroying the economy. And I think it's being used as an excuse to cover an economic collapse that was coming anyway.
All right, Jim, thanks for that. And Chris, Senator Kapinga, it sounds like, Jim saying that the shutdown should be ended. So there is some support there for certainly this idea that we can't stay on lockdown forever, which we've heard from both parties, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's as public policy, we always have to take the balance. We have to take input. We have to make our final decisions. That's why we're elected to do those, and sometimes those are tough decisions. But Jim is right, where we've got a lot of people out there who are like, listen, let us go exercise our freedom of making a choice of if I don't want to go out and I want to stay in my house because I'm concerned about my health, we have to allow them to do that. But in the midst of that, we do have unprecedented economic collapse going on that affects every single person in this state, because now you've got questions on, I have to go out and I have to feed my family and pay my rent or pay my mortgage and go buy groceries. And when I go into the store, and because of the pandemic, we've got sections of our aisles that are bare because either the food supply is not coming through or you've got people who are hoarding. You know, those are everyday concerns that the reality of these public policies on either side have an impact. And Jim's right on with his concern where, you know, overreaching, especially in our situation where we feel it's a significant overreach of power, we have to step in and stop that and allow people to function in our society.
All right, let's bring on Andy from Oshkosh now. Hi, Andy.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just had a response to Senator Kapinga's statement about that people should be having conversations with employers, and employers are, you know, saying, yep, we're going to, keep you at home. That's a great theory. And I think most employers are doing a pretty good job. But we've had different cases where, the employers said, it doesn't really matter if your daughter has lupus or if you're have asthma, and they're forcing people to go back to work. Those are the stories that you're not hearing about. And I just fundamentally disagree with that statement. So I'll hang up. Thank you.
Andy, thanks for bringing it up. Senator Kapinga, is this a fair conversation? If you have employers who say we need you to work and someone feels uncomfortable, there's a power dynamic there.
Well, two things. Number one, I haven't heard of those situations. I'm not going to say they're not out there, but a lot of times people go down the road of, well, this could happen, therefore it must be a reality. I have not heard of any of those situations. And if you talk to employers and employees, again, we're all using common sense during these unprecedented times. Number two, we have a system in place, though, where if it does happen where somebody says, I can't go back to work, we have unemployment insurance in place to help a family through that. So that, we don't have the situation where you have a choice of either I feed my family or I don't. You know, when President Trump put his policies in place and it passed through Congress, they put through pretty significant benefits for a period of time to help us work through this. So that concern, even though I understand where you can you can go in your head on that, I haven't seen it happening. And if it would happen, there is a system in place to make sure that somebody doesn't go hungry and can't feed their family.
So if my are you saying that if my employer says we need you to show up to work and I say I don't feel comfortable doing that because it's a health risk to my family, that I'll still be eligible for those benefits?
Yes, correct. The work requirements and the work search in place right now has been waived. So if you look at the UI system, in a typical situation where somebody just walks out And again, this gets a little bit into the weeds on how it functions, but the legislation that was passed essentially says, because we're in a very unique situation, if somebody can't go back to work in this time period, they're able to go get their UI benefits.
Okay, we'll look into that further and make sure that we get people the links that they need there. Senator Kapinga, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate the update that you're able to give us.
Yeah, thank you.
Chris Kapinga is a Republican state senator from Delafield, and we have been talking about how Wisconsin should open the economy back up, get people moving again. Senator Kapinga prefers a regional approach as opposed to a statewide mandate. Up next is the news, then the state capitol report continues with Wisconsin Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. We continue to take your calls at 800-642-1234. I'm Keeley Boltina. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show, and this is the State Capitol Report. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. The Evers administration is laying out guidelines for businesses to reopen in Wisconsin. There's general guidance, plus more specifics based on the kind of work: agriculture, construction, entertainment, retail, transportation, and more. The guidance suggests limiting how much employees interact with customers and having all workers wear masks. We're talking about those plans and a lawsuit before the Supreme Court about our state safer at home order with Democratic Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And if you've got a question for the Lieutenant Governor, give us a call at 800-642-1234. Better yet, send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. We'll see if we can get it answered in this conversation. Mandela Barnes is the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin and a former state representative from Milwaukee. Lieutenant Governor, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Last week, the governor said we should see an end to the safer at home order and Wisconsin slowly opening back up after May 26th. What metrics are you seeing that show we're on the right track?
So, yeah, we are hoping to get things back on track. We are moving in the right direction. And if you look at the Badger bounce back plan, we have met a third of the metrics so far, two of the six, and those being the ones that refer specifically to hospital capacity, which is critical. We could have had an overwhelming of our healthcare system. Fortunately, given the safer at home orders that were in place, we were able to avoid that catastrophe. So that is a good sign for us. And we still have to work hard over the next couple weeks to make sure that we hit the rest of the metrics that are, and these are outlined also on the DHS website. They're on an easy to read red light, green light format. Two of the lights are green, and we just have to get the next four, and we will be on our merry way.
Yeah, although we are still seeing a rise in positive COVID-19 cases, and especially in certain areas of the state, including Milwaukee, including Green Bay. And we also see pushback from Republicans saying we can't just mandate the whole state, treat them all like they're having this increase in positive cases. So how did these outbreaks factor into the decisions that you're making about what parts of the state and when the state should reopen?
Yeah, and the Milwaukee piece, I'll start with that. It just trends with the dividing of the state into these regional, into these factions, creating regional battles that are unnecessary and unhelpful when we're trying to progress as one. And when it comes to treating the state, it's not like, and I've said this many times before, there's no county line road, there's no municipal boundary that's going to keep the virus out of your community. And so if we were to open up a specific part of the state, quote unquote, before another, what would stop people from flocking to that part of state, potentially those who are infected and don't even know, wreaking havoc on that part of Wisconsin? And especially, it's especially critical in areas that don't have the healthcare capacity to be able to deal with a large outbreak. And yes, while numbers are higher, we still see a smaller percentage as far as the total people who are tested. Our testing capacity went from zero to 85,000 per week. We are testing far more people. There will be more people who test positive just given the sheer number of tests that are now available.
And yet I could see if I had a non-essential business in a more rural part of the state, and that was my livelihood, and I would be willing to take precautions, that it might seem unfair that because of outbreaks in other places that aren't tracking in my area, that I would have to stay closed and I wouldn't be able to get any money coming in. How do you respond to those business owners?
You are absolutely right, and it could seem unfair to a person in that sort of situation, but the problem here is the unknown. It's what we're still trying to figure out. A person may be asymptomatic and feel like, well, I'm not displaying any symptoms. I should be able to go about my regular life and unknowingly. And if they aren't tested, could be still passing the virus on to other people. This is ultimately about keeping people safe, and it is not easy. We completely recognize this is a challenge for everybody. I don't know many industries that haven't been disrupted. But it's important for us all to understand the need for us to remain safe by continuing to social distance until we can safely lift these restrictions. I can go back to the point where we don't want any of these, any area that is already having trouble when it comes to access to healthcare, access to, hospitals, where that can be a very real challenge, where it's a 45-plus-minute drive to a hospital. Then we get to a point where we're looking at loss of life in an area that just didn't – well, no area should have to see it, but unnecessarily because people decided that, things were safe on their own without the proper guidance or the proper medical expertise that says so.
We have Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes joining us now on the State Capitol Report. And you can ask your question of Barnes at ideas@WPR.org. Send us an email. And we've got John from Madison on the phone now. Hi, John.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. What we need is a scientific medical approach to it. We do not need a Republican approach or a Democratic approach. What really troubles me is there are Republicans in Congress are making the statement, go out and die for the economy. No, it's crazy. It's like saying go out and we might have said go die for the Union if we were fighting for World War II. But there are Republicans who are saying die for the economy. We need a robust testing. If you're asymptomatic, you wear a mask so you don't hurt anybody else. If you're not asymptomatic, you wear a mask so you don't get sick. But we do not need Republican or Democrat. We need a scientific medical approach to it.
All right. Sounds like thanks for the call, John. Sounds like John from Madison there, Lieutenant Governor, supports a plan that doesn't just open everything back up. That's not something that wouldn't be something on the table, right? Are Republicans and the Democratic administration trying to work together for using a scientific medical approach for a nonpartisan deal, or are we really at odds here?
Well, we've put forward a scientific approach, and unfortunately, they haven't put forward anything besides admonishing our plan with no sort of alternative. And I want to get back to John's point just for 1 second, because it was a great point about people saying that they're willing to sacrifice lives for the economy. Now, the bigger issue here is the folks who are actually losing their lives and the people who are being affected. Here in Wisconsin, the Black population, Latino population, both make up about 6.5% each. Yet, as a whole, the two groups make up about 50% of the infections in our state, or over 50% of the infections in our state, if I'm not mistaken. Just given the most recent round of numbers, these are the people who are being infected. These are the people who are losing their lives. And it is being ignored, just like in every other instance when it comes to economics, when it comes to education, so many other social issues that impact Black and brown people in this state and across the country. Yet you have people who say that they are willing to die, but it's not those who are saying that they're willing to die who are becoming infected or losing their lives at the same rate.
Yeah, and what about the circumstances that are up against people who feel like they're in that position? We talked with State Senator Chris Kapinga just moments ago, and we were talking about the idea that employers may, even in essential businesses, and as Wisconsin opens back up, employers may say, your job is ready. We need you here. And individual workers might think, this is risky for me. I'm high risk, or I'm just concerned about this spreading and I don't feel comfortable going back into work. Are there benefits available for people who are in that position, or is it a circumstance where you need to go into work or that's the end of it?
So I can't speak to there being specific benefits just yet, but I can speak to the fact that working people have long been told to sacrifice themselves in pursuit of profits for corporations and large companies, or any company for that matter. People have always put themselves in harm's way because, one, they need to put food on their table, and two, if the job market is scarce or they have health insurance that's tied to a job, they don't want to lose that job because of the risk that they would have to take if they have to go out into the world, figure out finding new employment. So this isn't a new thing, and it's never been a good thing. It's always been unfortunate that this is the way that business has been done, but we're not ready to get back to business as usual at this point in time. And we would ask our employers to please be safe and consider the folks who are working for you, the people who are actually making the profit at your business possible. Without anybody to work at these jobs, businesses go nowhere anyway, even if things were to magically reopen in the next 24 hours.
We've got Mary from Pewaukee who wants to join the conversation. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you. Yes, hello, Governor Barnes. And I wanted to just say that the previous caller kind of said some of what I was saying. Let the virus, and as Fauci has also said, let the virus lead the way in our decisions. And I think it seems to me that risk seems to be the bad way to go, risk and finance over health, life, and safety. So, and as far as common sense, Kapinga, I would like to say that there are many people without common sense. I went into a Quick Trip. None of the staff had either protective plastic, you know, between them and the customer. Mm-hmm. None of them were wearing masks.
Mary, I have to jump in here to make sure that Lieutenant Governor Barnes has an opportunity to respond. And that's Mary saying people aren't following social distancing now. And so that is certainly a circumstance that we have to think about when reopening.
Right, which I would consider an unwritten metric, because there are people, again, that point is made perfectly clear that there are still people who aren't taking this as seriously as they should. Unfortunately, a number of those people who aren't taking it seriously as they should are members of the legislature. And if the public sees members of the legislature not taking it seriously, then they're not going to take it seriously. We're going to continue to see spread. We could potentially be worse, and we could possibly be worse off. Again, at this point, we've worked hard and diligently to save lives. We've done that effectively. We beat the projected models that show where Wisconsin could have been, saving anywhere from 300 to over 1,000 lives here.
And
right now we're
talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. He stays with us about plans to reopen the economy, disagreements over the right way to handle the spread of COVID-19 in Wisconsin. I'm Keely Boltina. This is The Morning Show, and the conversation continues right here on the Ideas Network. As of tomorrow, it's been 2 months since Wisconsin's governor declared a public health emergency because of COVID-19. He ordered businesses closed and schools to keep kids out of the classroom. And we're working through the spread of the new coronavirus, and leaders in both political parties are eyeing what it really looks like to reopen Wisconsin's economy. That's our focus on the State Capitol Report this morning. I'm Keely Boltina. This is The Morning Show, and we're talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And we also have Steve from Sun Prairie, who's ready to join our conversation. Hi, Steve.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I did listen to the Supreme Court oral arguments last week, and I thought they were fascinating. One of the questions that Rebecca Bradley was asking is about where is the authority end for the administration? How far can they take it? For example, Lieutenant Governor just talked about certain communities being more at high risk, having more cases. Could he order a quarantine for those populations by having the National Guard come in? Where does it end?
All right. Thanks for the question, Steve. And we should mention the Wisconsin Supreme Court is weighing in on Republican lawmakers' challenge to the Safer at Home order, saying that the Department of Health has overstepped its legal bounds. So, Lieutenant Governor Barnes, what's your response to Steve's question about when the legislature needs to be involved?
Well, the legislature has the ability to change the law, and instead they are trying to use the Supreme Court or the judicial branch as an extended arm of the legislative branch. But I'll get back to the point, too, where you talk about affected populations and quarantining the certain groups. I mean, I think that kind of gets to Justice Bradley's point when she brought up Japanese internment, setting people aside, quarantining them, corralling them based on their ethnicity. And that's never the road that we're going to head down, where we are going to quarantine people based on their race or ethnicity. That's the most dangerous direction, the most dangerous way that we could go about this process. So effectively understanding that we are a state, we are one, and we have to operate as a unit. That is why Safer Home applies universally.
All right. And let's go to Paul from Hudson now. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, hi, this is Rick. Paul, I have a question for Lieutenant Governor Barnes. I want to know what kind of accountability companies have that, for example, I worked a month ago for a furniture company, and they said they made hospital furniture, which they had not for a year, and there were people right next to each other, and they were getting sick. And I walked out, and I was waiting for unemployment, and I won't get it. And just to end the conversation, I lost a brother at the VA home in Iowa 2 weeks ago. And I just want to know, will there be any accountability for industries that put people's lives in their hand? And I'll take the answer off the air.
Paul, I'm sorry to hear that, and thank you for sharing your story. Lieutenant Governor Barnes.
Yeah, Paul, also sorry to hear about your loss. And I think that those companies that are not being responsible, those should be reported to the Department of Justice.
All right. And how would that work, though? What mechanism has the state put in place to make sure that we are holding companies accountable then?
Yeah, I mean, the same way that you will file any other sort of complaint, be it you have OSHA complaints, but in, as far as the state goes, we have complaints that could go to the Department of Safety Professional Services, and also, again, like I said before, the Department of Justice, the Attorney General's office. I can't speak directly to a mechanism that they do have in place. I can't get back to you on that one.
Okay, we appreciate that. We are talking with Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes right now. He's joining us on the State Capitol Report to talk about what it looks like to have the state of Wisconsin's economy reopened, and the fact that we also have a lawsuit over the Safer at Home order in front of the state Supreme Court. And we have another caller who is ready to talk with us now. Nate from Milwaukee is joining our conversation. Hi, Nate.
Hi, thanks you for getting to me. A long ago caller mentioned the recession might have been coming already, and now with coronavirus, you've got economic disruption and the state government spending more, which basically messes with the state's budget no matter how good our pension plan is. So we should be asking the federal government for help, like happened with the last recession, because if we don't, that is going to hurt our state. I heard McConnell wants to play politics with this, which is despicable, but we should definitely try to get the federal government to help cover costs that we are going to be facing as a state. And what are we going to do with that?
Thanks, Nate. We appreciate the call. And Lieutenant Governor Barnes, then, how is the administration working with the federal government to try to get support for Wisconsin?
Right. I think Nate touched an important point, too, when he talked about McConnell's statement, which were the most disturbing, when he suggested that states should go bankrupt. That's a very irresponsible way to govern. And we are going to work to marshal any resources we can from the federal government. We do need to work in cooperation with the legislature. The legislature needs to work in cooperation with us. I do, however, find it somewhat difficult to work to suspect that the legislature would do that, given the fact that they took so long to act on unemployment legislation, and the state is already out of $25 million from the federal government that will help our unemployment fund. I hope that they understand the severity of the situation, but the evidence shows otherwise. We need them to step up to be leaders so that we can get every possible resource. And Nate mentioned Senator McConnell wanted to play politics. Well, you know, the Republicans control the legislature right now, and this is a time where we need them to step up and lead and understand that they need to work with their party in the federal government to get us the resources that we need to come out of this thing in a positive way.
All right, let's see if we can bring in one more caller while we're talking to the Lieutenant Governor. Troy from Winchester is on the line. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. Hey, this is more of a statement than anything. I own two businesses, one in Cedarburg and one in Appleton. Because we actually, we're a gift shop, but we sell alcohol, we're an essential business. So we've been allowed to stay open. So just so everybody knows out there, they think that this, you know, you're going to open up the country and everybody's going to go back to normal. As a business person who's been allowed to stay open, it can't be further from the truth. One of our stores was in the Appleton Mall. We had to move it outside of the mall. We're still riding at about 95% lower on sales. Cedarburg, if you've ever been there, beautiful town, completely a ghost town right now. So we're allowed to be open, but we're open to nobody. So I think that's a big thing that's going to happen when all these companies come back to work, and they're just assuming they're going to come back to their entire audience they had prior to this. It's just not going to happen. You're going to be lucky to get 30% of your sales back initially, and that's probably going to take a couple of years before it's back to normal. And with that said, it scares a small business person like myself because I have to bring my staff back and pay them to keep up my inventory levels. How am I going to do that?
Yeah. Troy, thank you so much for sharing your experience. And Lieutenant Governor Barnes, as we wrap up, what do you say to Troy, who's a small business owner who's concerned?
That's a perfect point. Reopening doesn't just automatically mean recovery. And that's where, again, it may come to a point where we do need help from the federal government, as we did 10, 11 years ago when with the Great Recession. And what was mentioned before earlier, too, is that we were likely on the brink of a recession already. This just made things extremely worse. That is why responsibility matters. That is why leadership matters. And that's why coming up with solutions to this issue in a nonpartisan way. I mean, we can talk about bipartisan. This has to be a nonpartisan approach to make sure that communities are made whole again, to make sure people can go back to their jobs, to make sure that our small business community can still thrive. One of my biggest concerns now at this point, too, is that the larger businesses have such an advantage, the Amazons, the Walmarts, Targets, and we have to be sure that we're back in the business of promoting our small business community across the state of Wisconsin.
Lieutenant Governor Barnes, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Mandela Barnes is Wisconsin's lieutenant governor. Earlier in the state capitol report, we heard from Republican State Senator Chris Kapinga. Both talked about COVID-19 in Wisconsin and the health and economic factors that leaders are weighing in this pandemic. And a clarification in this conversation, the State Department of Workforce Development answers the question, if I impose a self-quarantine because of the coronavirus, will I be eligible for unemployment benefits? And the answer is, in most cases, no. That's also true when it comes to being ill of the coronavirus and unable to work, being eligible for those unemployment benefits. We put a link to those frequently asked questions on our website, so you can go ahead and just visit WPR.org/mornings to find more information about that and other topics as we cover it. And again, as the impact of it grows in Wisconsin, you can ask us your questions about the disease at our website. This is the State Capitol Report, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.